Thank you for being with us this Sunday. You know, as we gather on this weekend, we are here on the cusp of the 4th of July. And of course, as a nation, we're spending time considering what it means to be Americans. What does it mean to be celebrating independence? What does it mean to be celebrating the birth of our nation? And of course, the United States was a very singular nation in its birth. We were, if you will, the test case for representative democracy in the world. Through the United States, the world learned that representative democracy is a governmental system that works. Not just a little bit, it actually works very, very well. It is a way for nations to be governed in a way that is fair, in a way that is concerned with the welfare of its citizens, as well as being concerned with the welfare of the nation in the general. In this way, the United States did something very unique that led the world to a new way of understanding how countries could exist. What makes this American experiment so fantastic was that we as the citizens had the opportunity to participate in our own governance. We got to be participants in the selection of our leaders, participants in the creation of our laws, participants in the implementation of the laws that we ourselves helped create. We were, in essence, free by virtue of the fact that we were participants. But we were not free in the sense that we could do anything we wanted to do. The United States was designed to be a representative democracy, not an anarchy. You see, truly free to do anything you want to do would be anarchy. That means that we don't have a government that has a say over our lives, and each and every one of us could be a law unto ourselves. For example, I might make a law for me that says I can go 120 miles an hour on the interstate. Someone else might have a law for themselves that says they can only go 30. Well, that would be chaos. And we'd all be in danger, because a lot of us would probably make really stupid laws, like going 120 miles an hour on the interstate. What we have isn't the anarchy that absolute and complete freedom would be, but that it is a freedom based on mutual responsibility to one another. That in the participation that we all share in being Americans and voting and supporting the people that we vote for and lobbying for things that we want laws to be or not to be, we become then mutually responsible to one another. And we are a nation defined by law. And that within that law, we all live the boundaries of our lives. And so if there's a law that says on the interstate, you go 70 miles an hour, you don't go over 70 miles an hour. And if you do, there are legal consequences. Because we all agree among ourselves that participating in a nation of laws is the safest, most secure, most reasonable, and oftentimes most compassionate way to live. And in doing so, we participate in this incredible thing, which is democracy. And this 4th of July, as we celebrate our nation, we remember that our democracy is always a work in progress. We make steps forward, we falter, we correct. And in that correction, we become better nations. And that is the nature of our government and always has been. We start in one place. We move, perhaps we move ahead, perhaps we falter, but then eventually we correct. We make things better and we move forward. We are very, very lucky insofar as we live in a time where we get to be a part of this. We get to participate in this. This is a nation of the people, for the people, and by the people. And that in and of itself is a very unique and special time in the history of humanity. In like fashion, when Jesus is beginning his ministry, there is a stratification, if you will. There are ordinary people, and then there are priests. The ordinary people might aspire to be rabbis, but they can't be priests. Only the priests of a certain genetic lineage can be priests in the temple. And insofar as that is true, the average person never has that option or opportunity. And for that reason, most people will never directly engage with God. The priest's job is to engage with God. Jesus changes that dynamic. That vertical dynamic, he completely flattens. And he begins sending disciples out, having this direct connection to God. Not just a direct connection to God in prayer, but also a direct connection to God in power. He enables these individuals to go out, heal the sick, cast out demons, perform miracles. They go out, and even they're astounded by their ability to do these things. And he gives them very specific instructions. See, now they're participants in his work. They're taking part in what Jesus is doing. But just like we here in the United States are a nation of law, the kingdom of God that Jesus is leading is also a nation of law. And that law is, of course, God's sovereignty. And so when Jesus sends them out, he doesn't send them out to proclaim just any gospel. He sends them out rather specifically to proclaim his gospel. That he is to proclaim, that each and every individual is to proclaim to the world that the kingdom of God is coming near. And that the kingdom of God is coming near in the person of Jesus Christ. And that in the person of Jesus Christ, we see the fulfillment of God's will on earth. And that Christ is going to do something special for them all. And here's the interesting bit. When he sends them out, he sends them out with his gospel message. And he says to them quite specifically, some communities will welcome you. You will proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in some places, and they will take you into their homes. They'll give you food. They'll give you shelter. And they will welcome you, and you will give them your peace. Some communities will not receive the word of God. And here's where it gets interesting. He doesn't say, so try again. He doesn't say, so come up with a better plan to present the gospel in a way that they'll find palatable. He doesn't say, well, why don't you try maybe having a different program or having a different plan. He doesn't suggest that they put together something more engaging. He simply says, present the gospel of Jesus Christ simply, present it plainly, and present it in a way that expresses completely what God wants the people to hear. Those who choose to hear and receive it will gain from it. Those who don't, those who reject it, well, that's their choice. And he says, just like I said here in the United States, if we choose to break our laws, there are consequences. He says, those who reject the word that they speak, reject the one about whom the word is speaking, which is Jesus. And those who reject the one about whom the word is speaking, reject the one who sent him, which is, of course, the Father in heaven. And those who reject the Father in heaven are in turn rejected by the Father in heaven. No one forced them to reject. They chose to. And Jesus makes it very clear that they're given that option, that opportunity, that tragic, horrible opportunity to make such a terrible, terrible mistake. But why? Well, the answer is simple. Because the people who take the gospel of Jesus Christ out are caring for something that is not theirs. It is God's. And it is sacred, and it is holy, and it is perfect, even though the people carrying it were far from perfect. And their job wasn't to fix the thing that was perfect. If the people who heard it rejected it, it wasn't their job to shine it up so it looked prettier. Because in Jesus' opinion, the gospel message that the kingdom is come was itself sufficient. We live in a world that sometimes does not want to hear when we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in fact, we live in a world that might actively reject it. We might find ourselves wondering, what can we do to be better disciples, to make the world hear the message more truly? And there are things that we should do. We should be about this work wholeheartedly. We should dedicate ourselves to proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ in word and in deed. We should be people that when the world looks at us, they see the light of Christ shining through us. Because after all, in the end, what we need to do is proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in its wholeness. We can only do that when we are dedicated to serving Christ. But beyond that, we have no further duty. Our duty is to proclaim God's word. Yes, we are to heal and cast out demons and all those other things that basically amount to serving our neighbors in whatever capacity we can serve them. But we do that in order that we might proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, Christ who lived, Christ who died, Christ who was resurrected. Ultimately, though this world may be full of expectations for us, God has only one, that as citizens of his kingdom, participants in his ministry, we do the singular job of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world we live in. To those who hear it, it will be a source of wholeness, renewal, healing. Those who reject it, it will be the source of condemnation. Our job is merely to proclaim it. So I say to you all this weekend, remember that as citizens of the United States, we are to participate in the running of our country to the fullest that we can. That's what it means to be a citizen. But to be citizens of the kingdom of God, our job is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in its purity to the best of our ability. And that is our job.